keep.
Studios in Eugene, Oregon, it's Oregon Update with your hosts, Clift and Robin. You can join Clift and Robin by dialing 646-721-9887 or by email at talk@krbnradio.com. And now, here's your hosts, Clift and Robin.
Afternoon here in Oregon. I'm glad you all could join us. Be back again next week as we go out and enjoy the sun. And
It is really nice, isn't it? It's a little bit cloudy, but basically it's sunshine. Very nice.
It is. And people in other states, sun is rare here, so we're definitely glad to see it.
Yeah. Up in the mountains, that's where candy is. I guess they've had some snow, but other than that, it's nice. It's nice up there more often than it is down here because they're above the clouds and the fog.
That's all right. Snow belongs in the mountains. But anyways, if you're wondering what this is not your local weather report. This is actually Oregon Update. I'm Robin. That's Cliff. And we have a lot to talk about because there's a lot going in the news, and hopefully we'll even get around to covering some of it or just ranting and raving. But a lot of that depends on you to give us a call right now. Do it now. At 646-721-9887, and talk anything you want to talk about besides bacon. Just give us a call, 646-721-9887.
What's this bit about bacon? Everybody is talking about bacon lately.
That's just kind of referred to one of our first shows that we did on Saturday. It was kind of it went from a serious show to a bunch of, well, what do you call it, hecklers? Mm-hmm. And we just got on the subject of bacon and just kind of stuck.
I'm all for bacon. I like bacon.
I do too.
I don't get nearly enough bacon, as a matter of fact, nowadays. Everybody's so concerned about my health because I had a heart attack, and so consequently, no, I can't eat anything with salt. And bacon is, any bacon that isn't salty is just not worth having.
That's right. And, of course, Michelle Obama doesn't like you to have bacon either.
Well, I don't pay much attention to Michelle Obama or Mr. Obama, either one, especially when it comes to what I eat. I do get a little upset I get horribly upset and absolutely just amazed that New York thinks that they can adjust the size of how big your soda pop is. I mean, you can't have a large soda pop anymore because there's too much sugar. Well, I can have six little ones, which is just the same. So how do they think they're going to accomplish anything with that? I think we've got some people in office trying to make up rules that are just not capable of doing it. They just don't understand what the world is about. They've got major problems, brain problems, let's put it that way.
Well, of course, because you don't know how to take care of your own health, and that's why, like, if you notice that soft drinks, for example, what were they, the 16 or 12 ounce cans? Now they're getting down to the 8 and 10 ounce cans, and pretty soon that's all you're going to see, and you won't get the big ones in. Just like the candy bars, for example, if they actually put a calorie limit on it, I don't know what it is on top of my head. And they'll get you, everybody all used to the smaller ones, and occasionally they'll come out with a normal size one and say, hey, you get 15% more.
Well, they're going to do that, and they're just starting it all over again, but it isn't accomplishing anything because they aren't controlling what you eat. You can't control what you eat or drink. I can have two candy bars if I want to and get the same thing. As a matter of fact, I eat little tiny itty-bitty candy bars because I always eat what's left over from Halloween, which means that I eat itty-bitty candy bars, but I eat 10 of them instead of one.
Well, yeah, and you're also the only person I know that buys Halloween candy by the pound.
Everybody buys it that way.
Usually they just go to Walmart, buy a couple bags, and Well, like here, we just put it on the front porch and let anybody come. So we turn the lights out and go for it, kids. We're snobs.
The first kid there takes it all. That's no fair. That's not being fun. I hand it out. I do buy it by the pound. I buy several pounds of, well, I don't buy as much as I used to. We used to I remember one time we bought a bunch of candy at the radio station. I mean, it wasn't for that. It wasn't for Halloween, but we had, I mean, hundreds of pounds of candy that we bought for a parade. And we brought it home, and I brought home probably 20 pounds of different things. And boy, did we were using that for 6 years or so before we got rid of it. And it's amazing how long candy lasts forever.
Yeah, that's true. It depends where you are. But anyway, speaking of, as I said earlier at the beginning of the program, we have lots of stuff to talk about besides just Halloween candy.
Well, this is Groundhog Day.
It's Groundhog Day.
Yes. That's important stuff, Groundhog Day. That's the most important thing. I mean, spring is on the way, and we know this is an absolute fact because the groundhog never lies.
That's right. Just like Obama.
Okay. The thing is, how do we know that the weather is the same in Pennsylvania as it is here?
We don't.
It may be different.
But
in this particular case, it's not.
Well, I think it's kind of interesting that Sonic actually got out of his hole and told us what the weather was going to be.
What?
Sonic the Groundhog.
Sonic?
Well, that's a hedgehog. I'm sorry. I got my hogs mixed up.
Sonic is a restaurant. But, okay. Punxsutawney Phil is the groundhog.
And it has nothing to do with Groundhog Day, the movie, right? With Bill Murray?
No, nothing at all. This has been going on since hundreds of years before the movie came out. Anybody, I hope you don't measure your whole life by movies. God, my, we're in trouble.
I don't know. I think it's better to live in a fantasy than it is to try and... Oh, wait a minute. We're run by...
These movies are not even fantasy. They're just stupid.
Well, what I was going to say is that our country is run by a group of people that live in fantasies.
Well, there's more than one group of people who live in fantasies that try to run the industry. Some of the movie people are living in not in reality by any chance, and they try to run things. And political people, they definitely don't live in reality. And that's another thing. Right? I'm getting really upset because I saw a big thing on television about how the economy of Washington, D.C. is far, 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 far outstrips any of the rest of the country. I mean, the people in Washington, D.C. make a huge amount of money, and it doesn't make any difference whether they're a senator or representative or just a person. They make way more money than anybody else in the country. And there's something wrong with that.
Well, speaking of money, as we finish our introductories a little bit later than we should be, as I say, we got a few items that we're headlining in the news we're going to talk about. One of them was Groundhog Day. We haven't had this for a while, a What the Heck Are They Thinking segment. And Cliff's favorite topic, because he always eats the samples.
Arthur.
Dancing Dog Cookies, which is our for today's program. The Dancing Dog Cookies are individually made by Tom and Kathy and Eugene and available in select stores in Lane County, available online at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Good dog, Skippy. Yes, Skippy is a very good dog, and I always enjoy working with him and like to reward him for a great performance. However, I am always hesitant and very selective in the types of treats that I will give him because I worry about his health and only want to give him something that's really good for him. That's why I always reward him with Dancing Dog Cookies because they are handmade to order from all natural ingredients and preservative-free. Plus, they come in a wide variety of styles and flavors. Skippy loves them, and I'm sure you will too, so check them out at www.dancingdogcookies.com.
Dancy Dog. Can you check them out? If nothing else, go check out the website and take a look at them, because they're really kind of cool on how they look and everything. And
go into a store that sells Dancing Dog cookies and see if you can have a sample.
There you go.
See if they'll give you a sample. I don't think they will, but because they're sold in bags, and they don't think they want to break open a bag for it. But,
yeah.
I don't imagine a whole lot of people come in and ask to sample a dog cookie.
That's true. And if you go into a store that doesn't carry Dancing Dog cookies, ask them to carry them.
Then ask for a sample.
That's right.
That'll really upset them.
If they order a couple gross of them, then maybe Tom will give you a sample. But anyway, check them out, www.dancingdogcookies.com. And you want to get into the What the Heck segment right off the bat?
Sure, why not?
Okay. We'll do that in just a moment, since I get my mouse to work.
Ah, what the heck. I suppose you've got to change batteries in your mouse.
I don't know. I pushed the button and went somewhere.
You've got to be kidding me. What the heck were they thinking? Can you actually believe they did that?
It's Robin's What the Heck Are They Thinking Award, where Robin picks out some of the dumbest and most ridiculous headlines of the week. And now, with this week's picks, here's Robin.
Okay, well, first I'm going to rant and rave because I get tired of putting my mouse over something and all of a sudden this big ad comes up and you can't read what you want to read. But apparently Portland, Oregon has a very interesting problem, is that they have their little in-town train called the MAX, which is their light rail. And one of the problems that they have is because the MAX train goes underneath a bridge. It is, are you ready for this, Cliff?
I guess.
Leaving many commuters vulnerable to witness the act and aftermath of suicides.
What?
Says most people who kill themselves choose ordinary places, garages, bedrooms, bathrooms, etc. But the Vista Bridge soars over the MAX tracks on a busy street, and the ripple effect of a suicide can affect hundreds of people, and the city should put up barriers so people can't see the carnage after.
Oh, bullshit. They don't need to put up barriers. If we're so goddamn namby-pamby as human beings that we can't see somebody being killed or see something horrible, I mean, we've got some real problems. Well, I know we've been protected from everything, but that's absurd.
That's right. And it says that, you know, the ripples of the effect of seeing somebody getting killed can have a lasting effect on the witness for decades. Well,
we can see 50 people being killed a day on television, and that doesn't seem to bother us.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, I've always said, too, that the phrase I came up with, which is the bubble wrap society, is like during the 9/11 attacks, you know, the parents didn't want their kids to know anything about it because they might have nightmares. Well, I'm sorry. Welcome to the real world, and maybe if you're aware of what really goes on in the world besides all the foo-foo stuff you see on television and being engulfed in your video games or whatever, then maybe the kids who are going to be the future leaders of the world might think twice before sending somebody out to die.
Yeah, you think seeing people being killed on television is bad? Should try video games. My God, they're horrible.
Well, I can tell you from my own experience, because in my late 20s, early 30s, I used to assist the police departments here in Lane County with as part of a volunteer group. And what we would do is we would go to, this is before the cell phone and mobile phone era, we did have what I think it's called RCC phones or something like that, and CBs that generally we were the first ones on the scenes, and we had to evaluate and set up, provide aid and set up the acts and see the best we can get help on the way. There's nothing more horrible than seeing somebody that's been hurt and or killed, especially when they're mangled up in a car.
No, seeing mangled up in a car is one thing. That's sad. As far as somebody being killed or somebody dying, I mean, my first experience of that was like 14 years old, and it didn't bother me a bit. I mean, I had a funny feeling in my stomach, and we knew that the gentleman, I mean, he just keeled over in the middle of the gymnasium while we were playing volleyball, I think it was. And we knew he was dead, but just other than a funny feeling in my stomach and a sad feeling, it was not that big a thing. And it shouldn't be. That's the thing. If we protect everybody and we, like you see, bubble wrap society, if we continue to do that, we're going to have so many people, nobody can do stand anything at all. And we're going to be so, well, it's beyond comprehension as far as I'm concerned. We've got to have more realism in our life than that.
Exactly. And regarding this bridge, the Vista Bridge, again, according to the article, which is OregonLive.com, if anybody's interested in reading the article themselves, one person's commenting, this is the seventh suicide that Khan, which is her name, C-A-H-N, is aware of in 7 years that she's worked on the Southwest Jefferson Street. Her window looks directly at the bridge, and they're saying that in the recent one that, you know, five police cars couldn't block the view. The medical examiner uncovers the body of a young woman with red fingernails, passing cars and trying that trains crawl past, drivers slow, stare out the window. And the it says that most people kill themselves. I already read that part. The public nature and increasing numbers of Vista Bridge suicides raises questions about whether the city of Portland should do more to prevent them. Would adding
nets, we should tear down all bridges.
Should adding nets or fences impede jumpers elsewhere at minimum? The question arises of design cost alternating a historic bridge and addressing the mystery and ugliness of suicide. And there's even a suggestion about putting a help crisis phone somewhere.
Okay. One a year isn't enough to be worried about. Two a year isn't enough to be worried about. When we have one a month, then we should worry about it. Maybe put the net they're talking about. This is absurd to even consider it. And even I understand somebody writing about it in a newspaper or some sort of article, because that's their job and that's the way they make money, is raising absurd inferences from anything that happens. So I can see them writing about it, but it's to think about actually doing anything about it. This one a year experience, that's stupid.
Exactly.
I mean, if we want to do something about it, let's do something about something that's legitimate. The fact that, you know, there's one an hour fatalities caused by car accidents. That's the thing we've got to worry about.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, if you want to get right down to it, I mean, if somebody wants to kill themselves and they're really serious about doing it, they're going to find a way to do it, whether it's, you know, a train, whether it's in front of a truck or just a car. You know, from other methods or whatever. But
I understand that there's a lot more people than one in a year that kill themselves, but just that particular instance, that it bothers people. So, you know, you can't stop people from doing things like that. That's a never-ending task. You can't stop people from doing that. That's going to happen. Come hell or high water, people are going to kill themselves, and we may not like it, but there's nothing, absolutely nothing, we can do about it. And putting a fence up or a net up to catch the people so they don't go all the way down, that just makes it worse.
Well, yeah, because once it catches the people, they just crawl over the net. But I know the government's how they'll handle this, and they'll pass a law making it illegal. So, you know, if you
it's illegal, so you can't do it.
That's right. And then they'll probably figure out that if enough people do it, we should tax it. Because, you know, the government needs revenue. And, of course, we should be out there finding any way that we can to give our money to the government, because the government is what we should support. And we should always bow down and give to the – oh, I'm sorry. I believe
then we should have one person at each end of the road there and the bridge, and collecting a fee in case they think they're going to commit suicide, so a suicide fee. So before you can go across that bridge, you've got to put a deposit down on your suicide fee, and then on the other end of the bridge, you can get your deposit back if you didn't jump off the bridge.
Hey, I got an idea. Why don't we find we'll take bungee jumping, and we'll make it a horizontal sport, a big slingshot, and then we can combine with Obama's latest latest hobby of skeet shooting.
Okay.
You're picturing that, aren't you?
I am. Spawning. Bam. Okay, that gets really, really bad, so I'm not going to elaborate on my thoughts.
Yeah.
It gets quiet, doesn't it? I mean, that's just the thoughts that I have are just horrible.
Yeah, I knew, anyways.
My imagination gets carried away.
But this is also a way to lead into the next story where Obama's got a gun.
Yeah, you know, I find that a little surprising, I guess would be the word, because I wouldn't expect Obama to be one out there, because I don't think of Obama as an outdoors person at all.
What? What do you mean you don't think of him as an outdoors person? He's always out taking a vacation, playing basketball, and in fact, sometimes he might even be into the newly designed Oval Office as the other one is going through renovation for a two-year project.
Well, see, I don't consider playing basketball an outdoor sport, even football. I don't. I'm talking about sports like hiking and shooting and things like that, and that's what I consider the outdoor sports. And I just don't consider him. Obviously, I'm wrong because, you know, we have pictures, and he hasn't ever said anything. They didn't even have a picture of it. The press didn't until finally the White House finally dug one up and gave it to him. But maybe he's doing those things that we don't pay attention to. And of course, maybe he's out spending more time doing things away from the White House than I even thought he did.
Well, yeah, and here, you know, as the New York Times is saying, that Obama was surprisingly disclosed as the president whose main identification with guns these days in his effort to ban assault rifles and high-capacity magazines is now out shooting clay pigeons, and I'm sure that the Clay Pigeon Society is very upset about that.
You've mentioned that several times, and that's, they would not be upset about it. That's their whole object in life. If it weren't for his kind of a sport, there'd be no society.
And that's true. The only thing that worries me, though, in this picture where he's shooting the skeet shooting is that he's not shooting up in the air.
Well, he is, but not very far up in the air.
Yeah. Maybe I mean, a bad shot. They didn't say how well he did, though.
Well, see, the thing is, if you look again and you see that the smoke coming out and things, that's after the shot. He may be on his way down again.
That could be. But at least he is practicing safety by wearing safety glasses and earmuffs.
Maybe it's cold.
You know, safety first before you go kill something.
Well, skeet shooting is not killing anything.
Well, that's true.
I'm all for that, skeet shooting. Not for shooting birds or you know, unless you're shooting them and then eating them. But skeet shooting, you can't eat them. I suppose you could. They're
crunchy.
Not real tasty.
You know, a little crunchy. That's like going out and shooting soft drinks. You know, they kind of explode.
We'll get back to that soft drinks, and I think that it's really kind of sad, really very sad that we have people in our government, anywhere in the government, in the state government or federal government, whatever government, that thinks that way, that they're doing there, because that is the most absurd way of thinking about anything that there can be. You don't change size of drinks or the size of anything you eat because, you know, if that actually takes place, and it has taken place, I guess, we're going to have lots more rules and regulations on what we can eat, and I look forward to having all kinds of rules and regulations on what we can eat. That's why I cook things at home and make them any size I want.
But I was just going to add real quick, as I'm looking at this picture with Obama with a gun, I was thinking that would be a good contest to add a caption. Like, for example, Congress that won't What's Obama's quote that if Congress won't do it, I'll pass an executive order?
Really?
That'd be kind of fun.
I guess. I just, to me, it's not worth my time. Anything that, like that is just simply not worth my time. I've basically put Obama out of my imagination at the moment because what he's doing is so stupid and not accomplishing anything, and he's not doing anything until he does something that's logical or accomplishes something. And we've heard about maybe he's going to do that, maybe he's going to do something else, but he hasn't done it. He's still floundering around out there doing nothing. So,
well, he is getting a new office.
Well, I haven't heard about that. So,
yeah, they're starting the two-year renovation, and they have a temporary duplicate Oval Office. And I guess the last time they did that was Harry Truman's age era. But
we haven't remodeled that office since Harry Truman?
That's what they're saying.
Wow.
Okay, well.
Maybe it's about time. God. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, of course, the thing is, you know, since they'll update it, who knows what other... They'll have devices in it that made Richard Nixon's tape recording look like...
I'm sure that all those devices are there already. I would never go into the White House and say anything that I didn't want everybody in the world to hear, or even near the White House. And there's not many places anymore you can go where you can't be picked up and heard or seen.
Exactly. Which, of course, you know, brings up privacy issues. But, you know, like Cliff has pointed out many times on the program, that once you are out in public, you're fair game. And speaking of fair game, by the way, Cliff, how do they talk? How do they, in case somebody does stop by, how do they get a hold of us?
Oh, if they want to stop by and say hi to us, or if they want to just give us a call, 646-721-9887. 646-721. You might want to write this down because you probably won't remember it, just like I don't remember it. 646-721-9887. It's not hard to remember. It's just remembering something. I mean, in my advanced age, and maybe yours, I don't know, it's not easy to remember things anymore. I got to write things down. Oh, by the way, you can also do this by getting a hold of us through Skype, too. I don't know how to do that, but you can.
That's fairly easy. You just go to our broadcast page right now, and there's a little S on there. Which, by the way, speaking of Blog Talk Radio, they did a little bit of redesigning and reading some of the forums on it. People are kind of wondering, how do I find my favorite show? Well, they moved things around again. This time, at least, I'll have to say that they actually improved the look instead of going backwards like the other two or three times that they've done this. Things are a little bit redesigned. You're just going to have to look. The live programming is hidden somewhere, but we're there. We're on right now, but... You know, you just have to go to blogtalkradio.com and find us, or just bookmark blogtalkradio.com/KRBN, or go to KRBNradio.com. We'll get you to our programs. And remember, we are on Saturdays now, 1 p.m. Pacific time, instead of our normal slot for Mondays, and that's basically due to my job, because we need numbers to pay the bills for the radio show, and that can only happen if you give us a call or continue to download the archives, which, again, we definitely appreciate. The numbers have been looking really good on that, so thank you again for checking us out. And what Cliff didn't mention, by the way, is that if you're not listening to us live, shame on you, you can still participate in the program by sending us an email. Cliff, what's the email?
You know, I wish they would do send that because we don't get enough emails. I mean, that's the way you could sit down and talk to us and really say something. But talk at radio, at KRBNradio.com is easy to remember. Talk, T-A-L-K, that's easy, at KRBNradio.com. That's our email address, I think.
Yes, that is our email. Good.
Sometimes, I'm getting old, and I never know for sure if I'm right or wrong.
Yeah. Yeah, just check it out, blogtalkradio.com, if you can't remember anything else. I'm on the.
You can go to blogtalkradio.com and click on the widget, they call it over there, and listen to us live there too.
Okay.
On the right hand side of the screen, there's a widget that's got us over there, and you can click on it and just listen.
Oh, okay. Yeah, at krbnradio.com. Not a Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, no. I don't ever go to Blog Talk Radio. I let you do that.
Yes.
But you figure.
Yeah, and
I'm so much older. Of course, you're catching up, you know. I know, ready or not, I want to tell everybody that you're having your birthday. And with every birthday you have, you get a little closer to my age. And so, you know, it won't be very long, only about 7,000 years, and you'll be the same age as I am.
Exactly. What I'm doing right now is I am on the Blog Talk Radio page looking under the live shows and seeing where we are, which so far I haven't found us yet, which has been one of my bitch and moans about Blog Talk Radio is that every time they improve something, it always affects our numbers. So,
well, see, that's why they should go to caribbeanradio.com, because nothing changes there. It's always over there, and it's always easy to find.
Exactly. And, you know, if I wasn't paying for doing this, that's my bitch and moan. But anyways, Cliff's got some more items in the news, so we'll go ahead and do that. But again, 646-721-9887, if you'd like to participate. If we're not talking about what you are interested in, then give us a call and give us a new topic.
Okay. Well, we've got lots of topics that we can talk about. We've talked about the groundhog thing and the fact that the spring is on the way, and Punxsutawney Phil. I'm not sure which way he goes, whether he finds his spring is on the way if he sees a shadow. Actually, it's if he doesn't see a shadow. That means that spring is on its way. If he does see a shadow, that means it's already a good day. And I guess they assume that since it's a good day that we're not going to have any more of them. I don't know. But anyway, supposedly spring is on its way. That's someone in the media has said that. So I know that's true. So that's Punxsutawney Phil. That's his name. It isn't something else.
That's right. And like it says on that TV commercial, if it's on the Internet, it has to be true. Because they can't put anything that's not true on the Internet.
That's true. That's it. You put things on the Internet that aren't true. That's true.
So everything that we say is true because we're on the Internet, and so it has to be true.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We wouldn't mislead you. Never. I would never think of misleading you as our audience. We just certainly wouldn't do that. We wouldn't say it if it wasn't true.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, it is kind of cool. As I'm flipping around here, if you go, they got a banner on here, and if you click categories under politics, hey, we actually came up with a nice, pretty little sign there. So that's kind of cool. I guess I can't get too mean to them because I have been kind of mean to them before. Because if this is a free service, you know, I could tolerate, but it's not. So I can be mean.
Yes. Yes. Don't be too mean, though. They'll kick you off.
That's true.
Have we talked about the five-year-old way rather than just mentioning it?
We have not. Let's do that instead of bitching and moaning.
Okay, because this poor five-year-old kid is being held underground in a bunker. And this guy, we don't know exactly why, but he actually took off and commandeered a school bus, killed the school bus driver, and took this boy. And took him underground, and they're down in this bunker. The people that have been talking to him, they're talking to him through this little air hole, and he can hear them, I guess. But they have seen to it that he got a blanket so it could be, you know. And the thing is, if he's that far underground, everybody's worried about it being cold. But if you're 20 feet underground, it's not cold. It's 68 degrees consistently, period. So it's no big thing. But anyway, they're worried about eating properly and everything. And we haven't been told, really, basically, whether this guy is a relative or why he's commandeered this little kid. They specifically went after this little boy because he had a whole school bus full of kids that he could have taken. And he took this boy and took him and hid him away. And he's still there. They're out there talking to him and trying to converse with him and to make him understand or something, I guess. I don't know. Maybe I don't know what he's doing back. It's been kept a fairly quiet thing, other than the fact that the whole world knows about it. But exactly what's taking place is something they're not telling us right at this particular moment, because I assume there's more to it than meets the eye, than we can see, and they don't want us to know. Again, one of these deals where they're afraid that if we know, we're liable to be upset. Good God. Of course we're upset.
Do you know where this is being taking place at?
It's in Alabama, rural Alabama.
Okay.
It doesn't necessarily, I don't see anywhere as to where rural Alabama. And rural Alabama is a fairly big state, so it could be just about anywhere. But they're still being extremely tight-lipped about providing any information to officials or anybody that could talk to the media and communicate it to us. And so the guy is 55 years old. His name is Jimmy Lee Dykes. That's who he is. But it doesn't say he's a retired truck driver and Vietnam veteran. But it doesn't say if he has any kind of connection with the boy at all. I don't know. But what it is they're keeping it quiet and they're not telling us about it except that it's happening. So I guess we can't add any more than that to this.
Yeah, well, hopefully, things will work out. But it's interesting that as we're talking about people jumping off bridges, the mentality of some people, nothing, for the guy that's doing it, nothing's good going to come out of this for him. But
the thing is, we're finding out about more and more and more of these things. And the thing is, we're keeping things so in the public eye that the things that we're finding out about are more sinister than they used to be. And consequently, these people that are jumping off of bridges and these people that are doing this, they're doing it because they're mentally unbalanced. And they don't care if they die. They don't care if they're killed or if they get killed in the process or if they kill themselves trying to do it. And he may want to kill a little boy and himself if he doesn't get his way. And that's the thing is don't try to reason with him because you can't. You can't reason with some of these people, and they're that far gone, and they're that way far away from being cognizant of what's going on around them. And you can't be cognizant of what's going on around you and explain it, because you can't explain stealing a 5-year-old boy and holding him. He isn't even holding him ransom, I don't believe. He's just holding him, period. And there's no logic behind that. So you don't try to.
Except for maybe that some people do it, especially copycats. They know that they're going to die, but then they become famous.
Well, if you're willing to die for what you're going to do, then that's not normal. That's not being cognizant of reality, because normal people don't want to die. And so that's, anybody that's going to do something and they don't care if they die, then we can't reason with them at all, period. There's just no way you can reason with them.
Yeah, no, I agree. So it's kind of an interesting situation. Again, we hope the best for the boy. And
why, in my opinion, if you're trying to reason with someone like that, and you're in a position where you can shoot him or something like that, you do it. You don't waste any time waiting and trying anything else. Just get him out of the way and save the kid.
Yeah.
In this particular case, you can't.
You want to talk about traumatic things like we were saying earlier about the suicides. Imagine this poor kid, it'd be very traumatic.
Well, we're long since beyond being traumatic. First of all, 5 years old, and he's going to get over it, and that's a period. I mean, you can say you never totally forget about it, and that's true. But it's not going to scar him life for life, I don't believe. And he depends on how it's being held. If his parents, I assume his parents are not there, if his parents or his guardians are trained, and if they aren't trained, they better get that way soon. They can handle this sort of thing, and the kid isn't going to be scarred for life, like I said. That's a bunch of crap. Kids are very resilient and come out of things with no problem at all. And as long as they know they can go somewhere and talk to someone who's going to be supportive and going to help them out and going to have, if they don't have the answer, they'll be able to get the answer. And that's the big thing. If you're talking to someone, regardless of what age, if you don't have the answer, go out and get the answer. Don't just leave them hanging.
Yeah, especially since we got this fad called the internet.
No, I don't know if I'd want to sit there and get the information off the internet. I'd rather find someone that they can trust and get the information from them, because you can get the information off the internet so wrong.
Knowledge.
Because every possible examination of the subject, every possible direction the subject could go is representative on the internet somewhere. So regardless, you know, if you want to find out if the sky is blue, go and check with the internet. There are places where the sky is not blue. There are places where it's white. There's places where it's green. There's places where it's black. I mean, you can find every possible answer there could be on the internet. But find someone that you trust and someone that you think is halfway reasonable, and go with that.
Like internet radio. Like, I know. How about KRBN Internet News Talk Radio?
We wouldn't let you. See, we know what's going on. We would only lead you in the right direction. Only be good.
That's right.
Good for you.
And if we tell you it's wrong, then it's wrong. And then if it's wrong that we told you that, then it was probably wrong when to begin with.
That's right. That's right. That's right. So, anyway, the thing is, with this boy, I think we're pretty much. See, I don't know what's. They're not feeding us all the information. They're not letting us know exactly what's going on. So we're going to have to trust. And boy, that's really hard to say, because there's so many times on these things where we trust the government faction involved to do the right thing, and seldom do they ever do the right thing. I mean,
yeah, speaking of government, I'm changing gears here. Apparently, we have a new Secretary of State, and Hillary Clinton just stepped down with, not really, with everything that John Kerry has done. He's the one that's taken over for Clinton. Okay, refresh my memory. Isn't he the one that was running for president and had a ballot because he was cheating on his pregnant wife or something like that? Or am I thinking somebody else?
I think that was somebody else, but it sure does become this. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I'm not sure if that's the same or not. If that's the case, of course, see, I think we should separate this business of cheating on your wife and how you can do your job at a government position, because I don't know, you can do your job being a government agent and still cheat on your wife. I don't think that makes it bad.
Yeah. Well, John Kerry, who apparently was the U.S. Senator from Massachusetts, and of course nominee for the Democratic Party in 2004. And, I don't know. Secretary of State's a tough job anyway, so good luck to him, and I just hope he does a good job. But he does, of course, as I'm looking at the Wikipedia on the thing, you know, he does endorse benefits to, legal immigrants, never mind. I'm scanning and trying to read at the same time. It's sometimes different. But now Secretary of State and everything going overseas, what would be nice to see, and I don't know if it actually is practical or not, is the way that the U.S. handles overseas is to stop being a paper tiger and looking at how much money we can make at the expense of other people's lives. When it comes down to, I guess what I'm saying is that, you know, when involvement of the United States and the involvement of Russia, when Russia speaks, people listen.
They do?
Well, yeah. Who wants to go up against Russia?
Well, I don't know. I think maybe at one time it might have been they would listen, but I'm not sure that anybody listens now. Russia's almost nothing now. I mean, what is Russia? It's not even as much of the country. It's not the same people. I don't know. I don't think we too much listen to Russia anymore.
I don't know, but all I know is that, to be honest, I don't follow the overseas stuff that closely to really have a good opinion. It's just that if you got a couple of factions that have been warring, at war for generations, do you step in and try to find a peaceful way of doing it, or do you actually get in there and just say, okay, guys, you're done, or do you just leave them alone and let them destroy themselves?
Well, see, that's the thing. We're not at war, nor have we ever wanted to be at war. This is not even the same Russia that we were at war with.
Russia. I mean, anybody. We haven't been at war with Russia for quite a while.
Well, that's right, and it's not the same people. It's not even the same country. It's not the same area. It's not the same anything. And so, I mean, we shouldn't even consider that. I don't know who we've been in war with that we're still, other than Iran, that's who we need to worry about. That's where we're having major problems right now. That's where we're making big mistakes, because we're talking about being able to talk to Iran, and you can't talk to Iran. You can listen to talk to Iran until you're blue in the face, and even if they say anything, you can't believe what they said. So we should be taking a totally different attack on Iran. Now that's a bad word. I don't say we should attack Iran, but the fact is we should take a different step to do things. We should not even consider talking to them.
Exactly. In fact, has there been a time, since we're supposed to be the country at peace, has there been a time that we actually have not been at war with anybody, whether it's declared officially a war or not?
We aren't at war with anybody. Well, we are. We do. See, we aren't even at war with Iran. I mean, with Afghanistan, because I don't think it's been declared officially. We're just doing it. And the same with Iraq. We never declared it officially. We just went ahead and did it. And, that's the thing I think we should do with Syria, is we should just see, we're so concerned now about how we want to act around Syria, what we want to say and how we want to do things and what we want to do. And we're concerned about who's in charge of Syria and who isn't, and all that sort of thing. I think we've been at this enough time now. We've been, well over a year, maybe even 2 years now at this point, worrying about Syria. I think we should have a big talk with other countries, and each country should take about 250,000 people in about five countries and take 1 million people in and go into Syria and say, okay, this is it. This is how it's going to be done. We've made up our mind how things are going to be run, and we're going to see to it they do run that way, and we're just going to take over the country. We're not going to tell you what you can do. We're going to tell you what you can do and what you can't do, but we're not going to help you do it. But we're going to help you keep you from not doing it. But basically, go in and clamp down and just, state run, work things out until you get their act together. Because Syria is as much trouble to us as Iran has ever been, and we seem to have forgotten that fact, and we seem to be concerned about how we want to act with them. As far as Iran is concerned, you talk about them and their nuclear capability. As far as I'm concerned, they have nuclear capability, and they maybe didn't test it out themselves, but they're in cahoots with North Korea, and North Korea has tested out their abilities. And so they've been tested. So we need to just take it and say, okay, this is the way it's going to be, and that's it, period. Yeah, Iran is not even being run. I don't even know who's running Iran, because supposedly it's run by the religious people, and yet their president is not that. I don't even know who's in ultimately in charge.
Well, true. I mean, I can't disagree with you. I mean, it's kind of hard to keep track of it, our involvement over there. But I wonder how much involvement we'd actually be if we took the money out of it.
Out of what? How do you do that? I don't understand.
Well, I mean, look at the Vietnam War, for example, a very long war, and it was actually making a lot of companies millionaires, you know, from the government contracts. And.
Well, somebody has to make money on it. I mean, it isn't because, you know, you're not trying to make necessarily money on war, but somebody has to make money because they've got to manufacture different things and do different things. And you're not going to do them for nothing because you can't stay around and do it that way. You go out of business. So you've got to make money on it. But I don't think there's any money involved in what we're doing with Iran. But I do feel that we should go in, and myself, I feel we should just go in and stop it, period.
Yeah. But so I'm saying is that just like in the 9/11 attacks over here, you know, Bush came right out and said this war is going to take a little time, you know, a couple of years. And maybe we should, when we decide to go over there, like I say, instead of going over making a long big deal of it, and tell me why not, if we just don't go over there and just say, okay, we're coming over, we're going to do our thing, we're going to get it done, and we're done, we're out of here.
Well, see, that's what I agree with. I believe, okay, we say that we know where this enrichment of uranium is being done. Just go over and bomb it. Just go over and simply bomb it. And bomb it so that it's deep enough that no matter how far they are underground, it's going to be gone. I mean, if they're underground so far that we don't destroy the underground place, then we're going to seal it up so that there's no way they can get to it or get out of it. So we're just going to solve the whole problem. I mean, if it takes part of the civilian people out, that's tough. I mean, it's this spoils of war, so to speak. I mean, there's no way around it. When you have a war, civilians get killed, and that's the way it is. And this is going to kill less of them than if we play around with it for hundreds of years and kill, you know, a bunch of them every year. But we could solve the whole problem because I don't know who's running the things. I don't know who's making the decisions, and we don't know who's making decisions because it's not the man who's standing up there talking to us. He is not making the decisions. At least he's not alone in making decisions. There's this I don't know what he's called.
Here's the other thing, too, like the Bush's weapons of mass destruction. And based on false intelligence, you know, we acted on it. And, you know, versus going over there and just doing bombing, you know, okay, well, according to our intelligence, you have weapons of mass destruction. We're going to go ahead and, you know, do some damage to you. And then to find out that our intelligence was false, or at least that's what we were told.
Well, you can only go on what you have, and you've got to act on what you have. So the fact that it was false means virtually nothing as far as I'm concerned. We need to see, the thing is, if it was just the United States who went over something unitarily and it was false and we acted on false information, it would be one thing. But the whole world was acting on the same information. We all had the same information. We all had the same, came to the same conclusion. And so it was not just us that was being misled. It was everybody. We decided afterwards that they were being misled. It may not have been, we may not have been misled in actuality. It just may have turned out to be inaccurate. That's all.
Right.
And the simple thing is, even if it is inaccurate, you've got to act because it may not be inaccurate.
Well, I don't want to say too much on the 9/11 thing, but when it happened, yeah, I mean, I was proud of Bush for a moment that he actually stood up, and there's a couple of countries in the world that actually were getting pretty nervous about, because we were talking tough for a change, and we were going to go out and get bin Laden and take, I don't want to say revenge, but you know, go out to people that did this, and all of a sudden we took a left turn and forgot all about bin Laden until Obama came into office and figured that'd be a good points booster.
Okay, I'm confused what you're talking about. You keep flying from 9/11 to Obama and bin Laden, and you don't make any connection here.
9/11, Osama bin Laden was the one accused of orchestrating it, and then we were supposed to go out and hunt him down, and during that time we changed directions, and then Obama with SEAL Team 6 decided to go out and take him out to get points.
Okay. I don't think I'm sorry, I'm confused, because I don't think it was that easy. I mean, we didn't know where he was, and the fact that Obama got him was just sheer happenstance. I think it was not something that was they found out in a matter of days ahead of time, months maybe, where he was, and then acted on it. It was not something that the other presidents could do. It wasn't there.
Well, the thing is, the actual truth we'll never know. In fact, we don't even know for sure he's even dead.
Well, I think he's dead, but I don't think he necessarily died when we think he did. I mean, there are several. See, again, there are so many stories, and there's so many people filtering those stories that we'll never know. You know, different states, different countries, different, even talking about whether finding information from Senate and or the House, you can't find out for sure what's happening. I mean, everybody has their opinion and everybody gives their opinion, but nobody knows for sure. But that doesn't stop them from telling us for sure what happened. The fact that they don't know doesn't stop them from saying so.
Not true. Anyway, 646-721-9887, if you want to call in and talk about this or anything else we're talking about. We got a whopping 32 minutes remaining in the program. And we're open to just about anything, and have actually been known to many times. In fact, we've been listening to the program today that we do change directions at a whim. But, you know, again, if you have something that's on your mind, whether it's about the thing about immigration or about what we've been talking about or anything else, give us a call right now, 646-721-9887. And the more people that call, the less I have to beg.
Well, you know, we're talking about Iran and the things happening in Iran, and I just wanted to bring up their bomber, their homemade bomber, shall we say, is what they call it, a new homemade counter combat aircraft. Makes you feel a little weird about it being homemade. Of course, it's homemade. They've made it, and it's a pretty nice looking airplane. I know the article that I read says they call it a Kaher F-31. Looks like a cheap copy of the Americans' F-22. Well, that's kind of a cheap shot that they use that word cheap copy, because that's just that's somebody's opinion that's wrote this article. But looking at the airplane, it looks very very capable and very, very well made, and I'm sure it is. But they need a whole fleet of them. One plane is not something they can do anything with. They've got to have a whole bunch of them, and that's not something that they can easily do. Iran is not that big a country. They don't have that big a war chest that they can, you know, just all of a sudden cough up 50 airplanes as well as keeping an eye on everything else. They've got to cough up with all these airplanes. They've got to still try to make their bomb and all these other things. And that's an awful lot to do for one, because Iran is not one of the smallest countries, but it is one of the smallest countries as far as I'm sure finances are concerned. But then they have allies all over the world that we don't know about, that we don't necessarily pay attention to. And I've often felt Iran and Syria were the two major countries that we needed to watch, and that are the major deterrence in our country. The major possibility of war comes from them, and they still are, because Israel is liable to go to war with Iran. And I personally believe that we should be sitting there, and if Israel decides to declare war on Iran, we should be right there, right behind them, in a matter of seconds, saying, okay, we're going to do it, and we'll wipe them out, because something has got to be done about Iran, or it's going to do something to us. And we don't, you know, I don't see any possibility for having another war. It isn't necessary. That's too small a country. It's too easy to stop, and we should do it. We shouldn't just draw everything else and drag it out. We're not talking about somebody in Afghanistan that's going to just, you never know what is where. We're still going to have those, and we should just give up on those, as far as I'm concerned. But we should get rid of the countries that are the big problems, like Syria and Iran and North Dakota. Yeah, right. I mean,
North Dakota.
I can't think of that word now.
Well, I'll tell you something that nobody's going to care until, I've said this before, nobody's going to care about anything unless it affects football. Just like we got the Super Bowl coming up on Monday.
Yeah.
Now, if you went ahead and especially the Oregon Ducks here, which maybe we should start putting that in our promo, you know, from the city of the Oregon Ducks, it's Oregon Update.
The Oregon Ducks are not on the Super Bowl, are they?
I don't know who's playing, because I'm going to commit sacrilege. I don't care.
Right, but I don't think it's the Ducks.
I don't think it's the Ducks. But Super Bowl Monday is starting, I guess, this Monday, and just like with the Oregon Ducks, that's, you know, as many people that's the most important thing in their lives. If you want to really piss people off, you know, start taxing this stuff, or start bringing new regulations that affect the football games or sports directly, and you are going to see an outcry that nobody will ever.
But that's assuming that we're going to do the whole thing single-handedly. I mean, we shouldn't be doing anything single-handedly here. This should be a worldwide effort, because the whole world is having problems with these people, this same group, the Iran and Syria and North whatever it is.
North Korea.
I can't think. Korea, there we go. Korea.
North Korea.
they may be cold.
We should go to war against North Dakota. Yeah, right.
But those are the three things that we need to take care of. And it's not just us. It's the whole world. The whole free world needs to worry about this. And so we need to consider something bigger than it. I agree with you that if we really want to do something and make the United States do it, and we need to do it on Super Bowl Day. In other words, interrupt the Super Bowl with the war part breaking out. That's the only thing that would upset everybody in the United States. But it doesn't upset everybody in the world. So there's more to the play than the world, than the United States. And the idea that we should be the ones to do everything is wrong. We should include everybody involved and get them all involved and make them all step up to the plate and do it.
Oh, but where are the world police?
So again,
we are the self-assigned world police.
That's what I'm saying. We got to stop being self-assigned. We got to wake up and smell the roses and let somebody else do it.
Exactly. You know, we can't take care of our own country. I mean, we're going through. We still haven't come up with a budget, to my knowledge. You know, we passed legislation to allow an increase in the debt again, but we haven't really fixed the problem. And
we haven't had a budget for 4 years.
Yeah, I like the suggestion that until they come up with a budget, they shouldn't get paid. People in Congress and whatever shouldn't get paid.
Well, I agree with that. That would be great. That would be absolutely great. That won't happen, because they're the ones who make the rules. So they won't do that to themselves. They might do that to us.
Exactly. And just like what was going on here in Eugene, I don't have it in front of me, it was last week's program, we're talking about where a county administrator is making anywhere between $150,000 and $175,000 a year and getting a 15% tax or 15% raise, excuse me. And especially as devastated as Lane County is why in the hell should these people be getting raises? If anything, they should be getting pay cuts. And besides that, I think that's for whatever they do, I think that's too much money anyways to pay them.
Well, I agree with you. I think a great many of our government people are being paid way over the price, way overpaid. But then you got to understand that you and I are sitting here and we're not coming at things with a good view because we're way underpaid.
Yeah, way underpaid, struggling to make next month's payment. The new job that I have, I was promised 40 hours a week, and I've been with this company for 3 months now, and I've only had 3 weeks that I've actually got 40 hours. And, you know, and like saying, trying to find other work in this area is very difficult because this place is a chased away industry and is not focusing on economics. They're working on spending, I don't have the exact figure in front of me, but millions of dollars. And I'm talking about like $10, $15, $25 million just to put in a bus lane. You know, it's, maybe, you know, 30 years in the future, this little community of 75,000, it might come in handy. But, you know, when you don't have any industry and people are leaving and you're paying these people that are outrageous salaries that make them, I guess where I'm going with all this, like Cliff and I, when we need tires for our car, we budget that about 4 months in advance and hope the tires last that long.
So, you know, what are you saying?
I'm saying that when somebody makes a huge salary and they're in charge of running the government, that doing things that affect our everyday lives, that they forget that the average folks, the outer medium income is like $30,000 to $40,000, and that doesn't go very far. And if you're making $150,000 a year, you're out of touch of what the people you represent are.
Now, see, I'd have to disagree with you because that's not the amount. The president makes a base salary of $400,000 a year. All the fringe benefits and everything, he makes about $550,000 a year. So $150,000 a year is just not that bad. But the thing is, they're still being overpaid. I mean, well, they're not being overpaid. A lot of people nowadays... a lot of people make $150,000 a year.
In the private sector, right. I'm talking about in the public sector. I'm not talking about the president because he's got a lot more responsibility than, say, a Lane County commissioner or a Lane County administrator.
I wouldn't necessarily say that.
Well, I don't think a Lane County commissioner can declare war on another county.
Well, they can declare it as well as the president can, because he's not supposed to be able to declare on war either.
Might be true. It's like, okay, Lane County, we're declaring war on Benton County. Get all your rubber bands ready.
Right. The thing is, you're not being, well, I mean, this is an interesting way to say it. You're being dealing with reality the way it is, but you're not dealing with the reality the way it's supposed to be. We're not, our world is not dealing with reality the way it's supposed to be. We're just dealing with, because doesn't it, it's just doing any old thing it wants to, and we're saying, I can make him do it. And so it's not anybody's fault but ours. We're sitting back and letting all this stuff happen, and we could do something about it, but we're not.
No, because it's not football.
And if, yeah, that's true. Unfortunately, that's very true. But here we are. We've got the ideal way of doing things, the ideal way of communicating with the Internet, and yet we aren't using it to do anything. Why aren't we?
Because people don't care. It's just like this is a couple years back when we had Memorial Day, and I was asked, and I was actually floored by this question. It says, "What? Except we're having the day off from work, it says, what is Memorial Day and why should I care?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's that's true. We don't care, and that's why it's gonna get worse, and it's gonna get a lot worse. Then we're gonna care about it enough to do something about it. But that's the thing that's gonna happen. We're sitting back and just not doing anything about it. There's a million things we should do. For one thing, we should adjust what people are running for, how long they can stay in the office, in any office, and all this sort of thing. But and some of the, you know, we've got to adjust how much these people are making, because there are people in the Senate that are making as much money as the president. Well, that's absurd. They're not doing the same thing. I mean, they're not supposedly doing the same thing. I'm trying to figure out what Obama does. I mean, there's not much that he does. I mean, he certainly doesn't give an indication that he's working at it.
Well, the Congress and the Senate. I mean, like the saying about, you know, why read the bill? And, you know, we got to pass it to know what's in it. What's their job? I mean, they're not doing what we're paying them to do. And like you say, we're paying them too much. And a lot of people go into Congress and the government offices, especially high government offices. You know, some of them start out making good money to begin with, but a lot of them are coming out millionaires.
Oh, yeah. And in fact, they are all millionaires because that's the problem I'm talking about. That's the problem we have with Washington, D.C., is everybody there is a millionaire there. I mean, that's why you can go into a really high expensive car dealer and pay cash for whatever car you want. You know, $250,000 to buy a car and you pay cash for it. When somebody can do that, there's a discrepancy there. Something's wrong.
Exactly. And getting back to what I was saying about Memorial Day, more people are involved in celebrating Cinco de Mayo than they are in some of our own traditions. And the question is when asked, what is Cinco de Mayo? What does people normally say? What's been your experience?
Well, my day, my opinion is it's the Mexican 4th of July. I don't know.
Right. It is a date observed in the United States as a celebration of Mexican heritage and pride, and to commemorate the freedom and democracy of the first years of the American Civil War. And that's according to Wikipedia, and of course, if it's on the Internet, it must be true.
Really?
But the whole point is that...
it's a Mexican holiday.
Exactly. But yet, you know, I don't know if it's an official day off yet for people, but a lot of people get excited because they look at it as an excuse to go out and drink and party and do whatever. But, you know, we're celebrating Cinco de Mayo and not respecting... like I say, Memorial Day or some of the others of our tradition.
Yeah.
In other words, more people know what Cinco de Mayo is than they do what Memorial Day is.
Well, I think more people know what Cinco de Mayo. But see, I didn't know what it was, and I don't think a lot of people know what it was. They have an opinion of what they think it is, but I don't think they know what it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't have anything to do with what you were saying.
Yeah, like it says, it's here. Cinco de Mayo is not Mexican or Mexico's Independence Day. It's basically the most important national patriotic holiday in Mexico, celebrated on September 16th. So if you don't know, there it is. Go to Wikipedia and you get the whole history of everything involved there.
Well, anyway, the point is it's not an American holiday. And
no.
It shouldn't be celebrated as an American holiday, but the people that are celebrating it are more. Let's see.
Well, it'd be like them going over in any other country and celebrating our 4th of July.
Say that again.
It'd be like other countries celebrating our 4th of July. Our 4th of July means nothing to other countries because that's our independence.
Right. It means nothing. It isn't celebrated anywhere else. I mean, you say if you say the 4th of July is a celebration, everybody in other countries go, what? So what's the 4th of July? Big deal.
Yeah. I mean, but I've talked to friends that are from other countries, and I've asked them, you know, has anybody ever, you know, come over there and talked about, hey, don't you guys celebrate the 4th? The 4th of what?
Really, really, exactly. You know, it's interesting. We were talking a bit about wages, Do you realize that former President Clinton gets $151,000 a year for being former President Clinton? He also gets $150,000 a year for office and staff. That's his office and staff.
Yeah.
Hillary, believe it or not, Hillary Clinton was not even elected. She was never anything except first lady. She would get $20,000 a year just because she was first lady. I mean, we're giving money out to people for any old thing. She doesn't because she's married, but anyway, it's just ridiculous. The annual salary of a senator is $165,000 a year.
Yeah.
And that's the kind of money people have to make. But if that was all they got, that would be okay. But almost nobody gets that much money. That anytime you've got General Electric sitting here spending $100,000 a day, $100,000 a day just trying to get their way. And they're just one of many, many, many companies that are trying to do that, that are spending that kind of money to try to influence people in the Congress, Senator, House of Representatives. So there's so much money being spent in Washington, D.C., and so much of it is not even considered wages or anything else, that we've got to get it under control. It's not under control. It's out of control, and something has to be done about it because, I mean, you've got to figure there's probably $1 million a day being spent on nothing except influence peddling.
Yeah.
So we need to get a control on that because that's too much. That's too much. That's not being counted anywhere, not being shown anywhere. It's just it's being spent, however, and nobody's being taxed on it, so on and so forth. That's just we've got to change the way things are being done in America, and the only way it's going to be changed, and the other way it's going to be done is if we're slowly but surely going broke, and we are. And that it can only go. We can go. Can't go broke too fast for me. It's got to be done and be done fast, and we can get over with and start working our way out of it. But we aren't working our way out of it. We're sitting back and saying, even, you know, that's the thing. We've not got enough people out of work yet to do something about it.
Exactly. And I was just looking at, speaking of salaries, just looking at some of the salaries here in Lane County from a Register Guard article, which is our local newspaper. And they were talking, like, for example, mental health medical officer Michael Fyler, MD, which topped the list of making $17,011 monthly or about $204,000 annually. I mean, granted, he's a medical, so he put a lot of time into it, but even still, it's a population of 70,000 people. That's still quite a bit of money.
Yeah, and that's more than a senator makes.
Yeah.
Which is, I still think a senator probably is responsible for more than he is, and so our salaries are not. And you want to talk about you get into salaries of CEOs and things like that. Then you're talking about real disparity in how much money is being made.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind making one of those monies, you know, like some of these where they're making like $5,000, $6,000 a month. I wouldn't mind doing that. I definitely would change my lifestyle. But I guess what one of the reasons why that I get a little bit more about this, like, for example, not to get too much of my personal finances, you know, I'm waiting for my tax return so I can pay my property taxes. So I just don't have the money to do it. But I've also in my lifetime have experienced what it's like not to be able to have any money to buy food. And so that kind of weighs on you. And so you get a little bit tighter. I mean, admittedly, I'm tighter with the dollar after that than I was before that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Because it's an interesting experience. You know, and when you're living in an area that jobs are hard to come by, I mean, fortunately now I'm a skilled laborer. The downside of it is, where I'm skilled in, the businesses have left.
Yeah, yeah. That's That's a kind of an interesting situation, too, because I spent time, I went to California, and where I lived, I did learn a skill in computers, and I came up here and found out nobody paid for it. So, a whole different thing. And, of course, I guess that was my fault because I could go back, but I didn't.
Yeah, exactly. Just like having a career in radio, which if anybody out there listening has a radio station that they'd like a couple hosts on, we're available.
Well, see, that's interesting, too, because that was one of the things that my career was headed towards. And then that changed because there was a lot of places that you could make money on a career in radio. But then all of a sudden, radio changed. It was, all the radio stations were owned by one person, and they had networks, and one person was doing the morning show for 420 different radio stations, and that meant there were 420 people like me who didn't get a job.
Yeah, and that's right. Radio has become a cookie-cutter thing, and it's fell to where it has now, which is boring, and you have hosts on there that try to be funny that aren't.
Yeah. And now, see, that's the thing. That would have been fine a few years ago. Our hosts could get on there and be not funny, and that's okay. You could change the station and go to one who did. But nowadays, you're listening to a station that's got a person on there that's not funny, and you change the station, and the same person's on the next station being not funny. And
exactly.
So you're just screwed. I mean, it's the audience who's more screwed than anybody else.
Yeah, and their new promo could be, annoying people all over the U.S. right now on Name Your Station.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, that's the thing. There are a few little independent stations around, and I'm sure they're getting huge amounts of audience now that they wouldn't have gotten otherwise. So it's good for them, but it's because the other stations are all, like you said, cookie cutter.
Yeah. But anyways, terrestrial stations are going by the wayside in a sense, and new cars are coming out with channels that, like they're way above, on the AM side, they're way above the 1600 band now, which my car doesn't go up any higher, which is kind of annoying when you go down the freeway and it says, for local freeway news, turn to 1610 AM. Well, mine doesn't go that high. And
how old is your car?
Mine's an 84.
Well, that's been in existence since before 84.
No, unfortunately, my radio is lame. But
yeah, and that's there are two different. There, that's another story entirely, because there's also two different ways of doing radio. We do it with a 10K bandwidth. Other countries do it with a 7K bandwidth in order to get more stations in there. But that's just what we decided to do, and we decided to do that as a country. And it's all going to go by the wayside anyway, because of digital is going to change it all. But that's not happening nearly as fast as we expected it to. So radio is really up in the air as to what's going on and what's not going on, and what we're expecting to happen and is not happening, and so on and so forth. It's just totally out of the question as to what's happening. We're not for sure on anything.
Well, speaking of not for sure, as we got 6 minutes remaining in the program, one of the things that, as I'm kind of checking the news here, there's on technology side, there's a little computer. How would you like a computer for $35 brand new?
$35?
Yeah, $35 brand new.
I don't pay much more than that.
Yeah, okay. Well, anyway.
Yeah, I'd love one.
There's a computer, it's called the, I just lost my page here, the Raspberry Pi, P-I, and it's made in China, and it was originally designed as a teaching aid, but it's a full computer, and but they say that the thing itself is only like about 3 inches by 2 inches, and you just plug your peripherals into it, and it's a full-fledged computer, but you can't get it in the U.S., because it does not carry the FCC CE marks on it. So in other words, it's not FCC approved. But other than that, the rest of the world can get it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's available in China, Hong Kong, Taiwan, and It's kind of cool. I mean,
of course, you say that $35. Is that $35 our price? I mean, our amount of money? Because $35 in our money is a lot more.
Well, it's translated to U.S. money in the article. But it's kind of cool. It's like the embedded PCs. You know, they're pretty small and you can do a lot with them. But this, you know, everything's basically on one or two chips. And it's a full-fledged computer. So it'd be kind of fun.
Well, that's interesting because I never thought of everything being embedded on a chip because that's the way radios are nowadays. They used to be, you know, have lots of tubes or lots of transistors or lots of this. And now one little 65-cent chip that can do a whole radio.
Yeah, exactly. Technology has gone a long ways, which is kind of cool, too. That's what makes it fun about technology and the fact that you can play with it and do whatever you want with it. And this makes a good learning tool. In fact, in the community college, I went and got my computer science degree. It would be nice to have something to play with instead of a Tinker Toy robot.
Yeah.
And I'm being serious about that one. It actually was made out of Tinker Toys. So, but anyways, 4 minutes remaining in the program. 646-721-9887. If you have anything that you'd like to talk about, the chat room has been open. I had a few people in and out of the chat room today. If, by the way, you're listening to this program on the archives, if you are one of the thousands of people that do listen to us every week, we are available on iTunes, by the way, for download as well. If there is something in the news that just gets smoke coming out of your ear, send us an email. And we'll take a look at it. If you'd like us to read your email over the air, we'd be glad to do that as well. We're always open for new topics and new ideas, except for we are going to come back next week, despite what some people ask. We will be here.
Definitely to be here, because we've got too many things to talk about ourselves. We can just entertain ourselves. If you want to join us and be entertained as well, that's fine, but... that's what we're here for, to entertain us.
That's right. But like I said, we're on Saturdays now, which, no excuse now, unless you have one of those poor saps that have to work on the weekends, to not participate. Set your clocks, 1 p.m. Pacific time on Saturday. Tune in and join us. And if nothing else, have some fun. If you want to talk about bacon, we can talk about bacon, too.
Well, I'd like to talk about bacon sometime. We never have. Actually, we talk about bacon, but we never really talk about it. I mean, we just mention it here and there. We don't ever talk about it. I mean, there's all kinds of bacon. I had bacon in my gravy this morning, and it was a kind of bad bacon because it looked fine, but it didn't have any taste.
Bacon, 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 bacon. Dogs don't know it's not real bacon.
Now you sound like a commercial.
Yeah. Also, I'd be curious, too, what do you think about the new look on Blog Talk Radio? Do you like it? Do you hate it? Can you find it? Can you find your way around with it? In the blogs, there's pros and cons of it. I like the cleaner look of it, and our show page looks a lot better. I still don't think it promotes our show properly enough. But, but you, the listener, let us know what you think about it, because in all actuality, Cliff and I enjoy doing this, but... it's really all about you when you get right down to it, and we want to know what you think.
Yeah, I would like to have somebody else to talk to. I mean, I not that I don't enjoy talking to Robin and going back and forth with her, but I'd love to hear from somebody else and have someone else's opinion as well. So, and let them get in on it. So, we'd love to have you give us a call, 646-721-9887. To remember and write it down, 646-721-9887.
That's right, and like I say, it does not have to be serious here. A lot of times we don't, but we are going to be serious and say goodbye, and hopefully we'll see you next week.
If all goes well and the curtain will rise.
Be sure to check us out on the internet at www.krbnradio.com. Or email us with your show ideas at talk@krbnradio.com. This is KRBN Internet News Talk Radio.